Hi, my name is Bora Kim, and you're listening to PCC Voice on LanzaRadio.org. We are sitting here, Cameron and myself, along with a few other people.
Yes, Nikki and Mrs. Cheryl Banks Smith.
Otherwise known as Professor Banks Smith.
Professor Banks Smith, by her students, who is I want to say world renowned because your resume is so amazing.
Yeah.
It's an eclectic mix. You hold a Master's of Fine Arts in Choreography from Ohio State University, a Master's in Arts in Spiritual Psychology from the University of Santa Monica, a BA in Sociology from Berkeley, and you've taught at Virginia State, Cal State Long Beach, Long Beach City, Cal Arts, and now you're here at Pasadena. It's amazing.
Combine choreography with spiritual psychology and sociology.
Uh-huh.
How did you come up with that combination?
Well, I studied sociology as an undergrad, but I've been dancing since childhood, and so I always was involved in dance. I thought that I would end up teaching, which of course I am doing, and I didn't really think that I would pursue arts as a professional career, but it just so happened that that's what was really in my heart and soul, and that's what I truly wanted to do. And shortly after I graduated from Cal Berkeley, I started performing with a very eclectic band of musicians called Sun Ra and his Myth Science Orchestra.
Yeah.
And began traveling with him all over the world, and ended up in New York. And there I continued my dance studies and trained with a lot of really incredible dancers in the field. I was working also with Diane McIntyre,
Sounds in Motion.
Yes, yeah. Sounds in Motion. Yes, yes. And that was a great opportunity because when I worked with Sun Ra, I had been performing and doing a lot of live performing, you know, with live music. And Sounds in Motion is it's a modern dance company, but it also has this tradition of working with live musicians. And, you know, in the jazz tradition, improvisation is always a part of that.
Oh, yes.
And so with Sounds in Motion, you know, we also had that opportunity. We had choreographed repertory, but we also had lots of opportunities to exchange with musicians, and you know, works of choreography were created with live music. In our classes we had live musicians, you know, that worked with us, so there was really that constant exchange, and it was really great. And then I ended up living in Europe for about 7 years.
Yeah, you traveled quite a bit through Europe, Canada, Mexico, everywhere. You're just all over the map.
And at first I was in Italy, and then I ended up in Germany and lived there for about 5 years. And when I came back to the States, I came back to California briefly, and it was at that time that I went back to graduate school. So I had been kind of, you know, a freelance performer, teacher, doing a lot of things with dance. But I really was interested in also having the opportunity to teach on the college level, and to be able to kind of dispense some of the learnings, the teachings, the experiences that I had received, you know, through my career. And it just seemed like the perfect opportunity, and it was the right time for me to do that. So I went back to school, to graduate school, after I'd been out of college for 18 years.
Wow.
So that was quite an encounter, you
know.
And
was the spiritual psychology specifically for the dance perspective, or?
Well, it was more a personal kind of exploration for me.
Okay.
But I definitely have always wanted to integrate, you know, my spiritual, I guess, pursuit, you know, with movement. I mean, there's no doubt that spirituality is involved in all of the arts, and especially in dance, because it's so much an art form that really uses everything, you know, your body, your mind, your energy, your spirit, your imagination.
Let's focus a little bit on your
primary dance form, I believe, correct mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, modern mm-hmm. dance.
Yes.
Modern dance, Cameron, we were talking about this earlier.
It's baffling, to say the least, at least to me, because it seems like such an... It's an
unusual,
abstract
yeah,
art that
exactly.
you don't really understand, but
I feel
beautiful.
Like it goes over my head.
Yes.
I feel like I don't get it. And I would love a modern dance 101. Like, are there... Because I was watching some performances last night, and, you know, just the... When I think of modern dance, I think of kind of like the... Like, sharp movements combined with fluid movements. Mm-hmm. I think of flexed feet versus the pointed toe. Mm-hmm. I think yeah. of things mm-hmm. like that that might not be pretty, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it serves a purpose, you know, for as the expression. And I always feel like I'm missing the story. Like, I don't... Help me.
Well, it sounds like you do have some sense of some
yeah.
of the characteristics of modern dance.
Yeah.
Modern dance, especially contemporary dance nowadays, is very eclectic uh-huh. and has a lot of influences. But modern dance really started out of revolution. It was at the beginning of the 20th century where dancers were really interested in saying something other than just the classical ballet tradition. And so they really explored from their own experiences and from their own investigation of movement. They created their own movement languages. And each choreographer or each generation of choreographers that have evolved, you know, modern dance have contributed in that way, you know, through their own inner search and development with codification of their movement styles. You know, there have been some, you know, iconic choreographers such as Martha Graham.
Sure, yeah.
And that was one of the first... modern dance traditions that I studied when I was a sophomore at UC Berkeley. David and Marnie Wood, who were members of the Graham Company, they came to Cal Berkeley to establish a dance program within the theater department. And so I had the opportunity to study with them for 3 years. And then I also studied with a protege of Catherine Denham, who was an anthropologist and really brought in the African tradition in modern dance. And so, and then, of course, when I was living in New York, I trained with as many different people as possible. Mm-hmm. So,
there,
to get back
like
to your
language,
question.
Yeah, is there a language of modern dance? And we have a student here as well
mm-hmm.
who's taken several of your classes.
Right.
Big fan of yours, I have
Nikki
to say.
Yeah.
Well, that's
who's doubling as our board op today. We're going to use her for many things.
Sure.
Nikki has trained with her, studied with her. So maybe between the two of you, you can help me understand the language of modern dance and what you get out of it. Like, what, as a student, that it sort of opened the doors of something inside of you as an artist, and what I'm supposed to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you answer from your experience?
Well, I would say, I mean, you taught me everything about modern dance. And I did have some training in jazz, in ballet, and I loved modern dance. I loved contemporary, and you just taught me to, like, step outside of the box. And it was just...
As an artist, does that sort of feed into your other expressions? You know, I know between acting, dancing, singing, maybe even normal studio art... When you use the movement, do you feel like that informs other bits of you? Or what is the goal of the modern art, the expression of it?
Well, I think it depends on what it is that you're trying to say. You know, some choreographers have social statements that they want to make a comment on, or it could be something political. It could be movement for its own sake, you know, just to creating something beautiful. Obviously there's been a great connection between movement and music, you know, for eons.
Yeah.
And oftentimes,
club on a Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the place oftentimes where choreographers begin. You know, you find a piece of music that really is inspiring and that speaks to you in some way. And it's kind of, you know, through that dialogue, that sort of gives you impressions that come out through the movement itself. But it is, I would say that, you know, the language is abstract, can also tell stories, and, you know.
So if I don't understand something, it's not because I'm missing it. It might just be movement for the sake of expression and all of that.
Well, hopefully you're going to feel something.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And you're going to be touched in some way.
That's the key.
You don't necessarily
have to. It
might
not be a story, yes. But as long as it's hitting me somewhere
exactly. In
my inside,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay. Okay.
Captain Cameron, right. This is Dot in the studio. I'm going to
Professor
ask.
Professor Cheryl Banks-Smith.
Hello, Dot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Cheryl Banks is having, I think, a dance program on December 7th in the Studio 2013. Do I have that correct?
Actually, the formal concert that takes place in Sexson Auditorium for this semester, it's I believe it's in the middle of November. I apologize that I don't have the exact dates, but I think it's the second weekend in November. And it will be happening. It's the Modern Dance Production Ensemble will be producing our concert in Sexson Auditorium in November. And then at the end of the semester, we have an informal concert called In the Studio, which is going to happen in our home studio, which is in the W Building, room 203, W203.
Great. Thank you very much.
And that
much.
Will be on the 7th of December. It's a Saturday evening, and that will be, you know, a more informal presentation of a lot of our classes.
Professor Cheryl Banks-Smith, thank you so, so very much. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Great.
And
we're going to have to go to a break here. You're listening to PCC Voices. Dot Cannon with you. We're going to be back with more PCC Voices shortly on LancerRadio.org.